Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM, your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Kason Gorenson, who is the VP of Marketing at WorkSuite. I'm super excited to dig into what we are titling Whiteboard Account Progression. Yes, this is literally one of the scrappiest, most fun playbooks that I'm excited to dig into, working through how do you actually generate some pipeline. So Kason, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
So let's go ahead and dig right into it. Again, whiteboard account progression. Like, what does that mean? Like, what's the high level of what we're talking through today?
Yeah. So I guess at a high level, really wanted to dig into account-based marketing. For me, it was really when I first heard the term, didn't entirely understand what it meant. Everyone on my team at the time didn't entirely understand what it meant. Yeah. And we wanted to jump in and figure it out. With that, we did not have tech. We didn't fully have a good comprehension of what account-based meant. So then that also meant we didn't know would it work. So without teasing the entire strategy, there was a lot of details on a whiteboard with color-coded markers, because I love a good color-coded marker. And then we also, the strategy was on the whiteboard. And then we mapped out where leads were moving through and where accounts were moving through with color-coded post-its. That's the high-level tease. There was a lot also baked in Excel so we could keep it tracked there. But basically every night took photos of this whiteboard because I was terrified I was going to come in the next day and my whiteboard would be erased or post-its would be moved or on the floor or things just wouldn't be where they were supposed to be.
Yeah. No, again, when we were digging into this right before pressing record, I was like, this is so amazing. So I do have some like really tactical questions.
Absolutely.
To get us started. So again, color coordination. I've got some friends that have looked at my calendar and everything is a sea of blue and they're like, this is atrocious. Like you need a color coordinated.
I couldn't do it.
Like, so again, everybody's a little bit different. But again, I've got friends that have color coordinated calendars that like differentiate things of like, this is a partner conversation or like a revenue generating conversation or like admin tasks. So
that's me.
I know that people with color coordination think through the different components around like, why are these things color coordinated? So as you had different color coordinated post-it notes, like what were the different colors indicative of on your whiteboard?
So on the post-it notes, each post-it note was a different account so that we could see each account, different people from that account, where were they in the journey? So it was very easy to see what leads or people from what account were where in their journey. Because as you know, person A from an account may be farther along than person B. Yeah. And so I wanted to quickly just look kind of in our, in theory campaign, where were various people from what account in the journey. And so just looking at a color, you could see where the red account was across the board. With markers though, it was the different kind of channels or tactics. So where was our direct mail piece? Where were emails and what was going on there? Each color was basically a different channel.
I love it. So we've got the high level. Again, as we dig into more some of the specifics, like how did you determine what the stages of your account progression model were going to be as you build this out?
Yeah, so I'm going to back up before I answer that so that this will make a little bit more sense.
Perfect.
Okay. So it was the financial services industry. So going in there, things move a lot more slow in that industry. Buying committees can be a little bit larger and just a little bit more traditional. So you need a lot more attention, and they have to talk to each other a lot more than, say, in your typical SaaS tech deal, where, you know, maybe a CRO can go out and buy a deal with maybe just procurement or security saying, yeah, okay, this vendor meets our criteria, let's go. So in financial services, you also just, it's going to take a lot more love to move them through. So especially because knowing all of that, and then this was just an experiment. We didn't know what was going to work. We really kind of used our, what we knew for the traditional, just these were the things that were working for us at the time. We knew content worked really well. We knew webinars worked. We knew events worked. And also just the relationship that sales had with the financial institutions worked really well. So how do we pair those things together, but then take a different approach, more at a targeted account level, and try to move the needle? That was our best kind of starting place.
No, and again, I really love that.
Oh, go ahead.
I really love that because, again, from a simplicity perspective, it was less, how do I build a new program from the ground up? But it's like, we already have things in motion. The question is now, how do we be more intentional and targeted in the actual outreach to get these people a part of the existing streams of our marketing
program? Exactly. Yeah. We didn't want to overbake and build something crazy, because also, say from a content perspective, we didn't know what did these individual accounts need from a content perspective or something crazy. And then add in human bandwidth. We just didn't have the capital or capacity to, let's create some whole new content program, develop it for, again, a program we didn't even know was going to work. So how do we repurpose and package up the things that we already knew? So that was where, let's just use what we have and monitor it and target it specifically to these accounts and kind of see what works, and then create new assets or package them and repurpose them in a different way. And as we kind of moved them through this funnel, that was where we realized, oh, if we tie these two white papers together and create an ebook out of them, that performs better for these accounts. Let's do this. And it wasn't even creating a new content piece. It was just, let's combine. That's more powerful. Let's send it to them in a different way. Those things actually just performed better. So it still wasn't even, let's create net new.
Yeah. I love that. And as we're talking with clients about getting their ABM programs off the ground, we look at a lot of foundational operations, but like the second piece is your current content inventory, because you can get so much accomplished by just repurposing or like we're retitling some things.
Yes.
Previously run some webinars around content strategy, and we just retitled something to be content strategy for rapidly scaling tech companies. Do you know who joined that webinar?
Rapidly scaling tech companies.
It was the exact same content. We just retitled it a little bit. So again, like really structuring how you frame something is so important for these pilot programs. So I love the fact that you guys dug really deep into, this is the existing content inventory. This is how we can just redistribute it to specific accounts and drive engagement that way.
Well, even on that note, so we used Marketo at the time. We already in Marketo, you can, in a non-creepy, very creepy way, see basically everything that people already in your system are doing on your site. We did not need to gate assets for people who were already there.
Yep.
Well, most of these people were already in our system. They were already cookied or, well, munchkined. So we didn't need to gate the assets that we were sending them. So quick thing to reduce the friction there, we just removed the gate. Part of, again, this lovely post-it note structure. Every morning, the first thing I did was basically for the contacts of every account was I went in and I creeped what had they done the night before. So I knew where to move their post-it. And I saw, oh, they engaged with this white paper, move their post-it. Oh, they did not, don't move their post-it. Whatever it was. And so I already knew. So why gate the asset? So to your point, what are the things you can do to remove that friction? Do you actually need to gate because you're trying to get new contacts? Do you not? And if you are trying to get new contacts, do you already have another way to see if they're on your site and have their information or not?
Yeah.
What's the friction?
I love it. The thing that I should have asked earlier is just around like the number of accounts that you were pursuing. Because again, to look at an individual contact by contact level, like this is a very manual process. This is labor intensive. So I'm curious, like how many accounts did you start from a targeting perspective?
Well, so when it was truly manual and it was literally this whiteboard and post-its with me creeping in on Marketo, it was just 10 accounts.
Cool.
Because I knew it was going to be very manual. My partner in crime, who was doing more of the content, the imaging, all of that, we knew it was going to be very manual. And we also had kind of our day jobs, since the account-based marketing was an experimental program.
Yep.
We couldn't devote all of our time to this. So we just did 10 accounts to see if this would work. Just 10. Eventually, as we saw success, we scaled it up, but started just at 10.
You are speaking my language. The second reason ABM always fails is a lack of dedicated resources, because you try to do too much with the same team. And I always make the reference in our conversations, like everybody already has a full-time day job and you're adding organizational change as a bullet point of their job description. Like it's a heavy lift if you don't really pilot it in a small way. So I love that. You've mentioned, again, looking at individual contacts and then based on their levels of engagement, moving them from one stage to the next based on their account, progression. So I'm curious, like, how did you determine when it was time for somebody to move from one stage to the next?
So it was, I kind of hate this answer, if I'm being really honest. It was kind of a combination of old school lead scoring. And I say that, I actually am not a fan of lead scoring. I don't really like it, but let's be honest, there's a benefit to it. Do I love it? No, but it can be beneficial. So kind of moved people along based on basically lead scoring and how much they engaged with us to basically determine kind of, are they aware of us? Have they kind of moved to being engaged? Do we think it's time to reach out from a sales perspective? Anything there? And then their account, we kind of did basically an addition of all of the contacts in our system to make an account score.
I was going to ask, do you weight those contacts differently based on kind of their role within the buying committee, or was it just like an aggregate of the accounts or the contact scores?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, whatever their role was in the buying committee and how much weight we felt they had. And it, candidly, that was kind of a guess. It was as scientific as we knew. I'm not going to say it was super scientific, but it's rough math. We tried to weight them. Obviously, like the president had a lot more weight than someone else. So kind of weighted, but closer to an average. There was an account score. They moved throughout the account. And obviously certain activities moved more. Like if they jumped to meeting us at a trade show, so they were already meeting us in person, that was worth a lot more than cool, you engaged with a white paper.
Yeah. No, I think, again, when we think about the measurement of engagement, like a truly scalable ABM program would factor in like third-party intent data and first-party engagement data and firmographics and psychographics and like all these different components. But that is just very overwhelming to try to figure out. Like that is a 3-month project to build a truly like well thought through engagement scoring model that scales. So I love the fact that you just, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, we didn't have that technology. This was, we had a very limited tech stack. It was like Marketo, Dynamics, Google Analytics.
Yep. I mean, that's where most people are starting. And I think, again, is it quote unquote right or wrong? These are just things that are intended to help you actually score your account so you know who to help sales reach out to. Mm-hmm. And this is how you get started. So I love like Frogbird, like the messy details. So this is awesome. Yeah. So again, we've got why we're progressing accounts. We're using existing content inventory. I'm just curious as it relates to roadblocks. Like what were some of the challenges that you guys experienced that were not expected? I want to be clear. There's a lot of roadblocks in this. Like you just like enthusiastic janitor could have ruined the account progression model in the current state. So like there's those roadblocks, but I'm curious, are there any other roadblocks that were unexpected that you guys encountered?
Yeah, so I already know one we talked about, pre-call, that you can't wait to hear about. Okay, so as we started getting a little bit more traction, seeing a little bit more results, we got a little bit of budget to do some direct mailing to try to get people a little more excited. Maybe could they meet us at events, trade shows, those kind of things. Because just from our normal kind of business as usual, or BAU, as I like to call them, marketing efforts, we knew trade shows performed very highly for us. They were just a high converting effort. So we were able to steal some of that direct mail budget to get people from this program to try to meet us at those events. Kind of still BAU budget, just could we steal some of it? So we did some of that, and there was a moment in time where part of that direct mail campaign, there was like a message in a bottle element where, you know, there was like a little cute bottle with a boat, sand, and all typical message in a bottle that went to a landing page that was similar themed to meet us there. Well, I guess some of the messages in the bottle broke along the way, and it was around the time of the anthrax scares. And so where the sand got out of the bottles and going to financial institutions, people were reaching out to us, did you mail us anthrax? So that was the problem.
Yeah.
But we did get responses. So they did connect with us about this. So not necessarily positively, but
yeah, and I mean,
that was a problem.
Admittedly, this is something where because I'm so like in the growing of a business, I like sometimes do miss major public news events. And it's just like good to every now and then, just before you do like a brand type campaign, just come up for air and say like, how could this possibly go wrong? Or like prime example, Taylor Swift's new album just released at the time of this recording. Like there's a ton of great opportunities around like memes. So like, how do you use that in a positive sense of like using public and like public news and pop culture thing. So like coming up for air every now and then to like look around and say like what's happening in our culture to then tie into to get further engagement or specifically avoid to not have that engagement is always a good thing, specifically with some direct mail campaigns.
Agreed. Well, also NHL hockey playoffs are going on right now. So if you need that.
Yeah, I was an Alabama kid, so we're all football. Never had any hockey.
I'm from Tennessee.
Okay.
I'm from Tennessee.
I'm curious as far as any other like roadblocks you guys experienced that made this a little bit more difficult to get off the ground.
I mean, I think the biggest ones were it was just really slow moving. Like I shared, just financial services moved slow, and then it was so manual to track. I think trying to prove it was working, especially sales cycle was 3 to 5 years. So proving it was working. And then I truly, honestly believe for account-based marketing to work, it cannot be led by just marketing. You have to get buy-in from sales. And it only has to be one person. It does not have to be the whole sales team, but you have to at least have a partner over there to help you pick those accounts, make sure they're the right ones. Are you doing the right motions? And it almost has to be a handoff. Okay, we'll do this. Can you do this? We'll do this. And then can you do this? And kind of a back and forth motion. So I think we had a little bit of challenge. Will you do this next part? Are we picking the right accounts? Especially because it was so slow to get that traction. We did eventually get the buy-in, especially from some other efforts. There were some people on the sales side who they were just believers in marketing. Were they necessarily believers in this program originally? No, but they believed in marketing and knew if I partner with marketing, I'm going to see results. But it was just a slow growth challenge. I'll fast forward. Eventually, they bought in. Eventually, leadership bought in. I will ruin the scrappy part. Eventually, we got budget. And then eventually we got, if anyone even remembers, I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist anymore, but we got Marketo ABM approved as a platform. So the whiteboard did fade away and the post-its stopped. So our office supply budget definitely went down a lot. But like it did succeed. And I'm no longer with that company, but to my knowledge, they're still doing a variation of this same account.
Yeah.
So did perform.
No, I love it. And again, just the recognition of this is to get early results. Like it's a, for lack of a word, everybody kind of hates this, but if you don't have the tech, it is a bit of a feeling. Like we feel that the accounts, and we can just see it because we're so close to the data. Like it's not a scaled report. It's not a dashboard. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we are in it. We see these accounts moving.
Yeah.
We see that they're engaging, they're becoming more educated, and then they book the call. And you can just tell in the sales process that these accounts move a little bit faster.
I would say even if you do have a fancy tool, a dashboard, anything there, it's you're not going to see quick results because if you're doing it right, you're not going after a quick to win account. You're going after those larger accounts. Those already are going to take longer to close than your normal account. That's going to take longer. They're going to take more touches than your normal account. So if you're quick, if you're expecting a quick result, you're already going about it wrong. Yep. So then to expect with or without a tool, a quick turn, you're just kind of setting up your account-based program to fail because it's going to take longer than your average sales cycle. So if your average sales cycle is 6 months, I would expect your account-based program to take, I'm going to make up some number, but 8 to 9 months, depending on how much larger it is than your average. If your average sales cycle is a year, expect this one to take at least 15 months, you know, add some time because these are going to be larger than your average, or they should be if you're selecting your accounts right.
Yeah. I mean, the caveat that I'll add is just depending on how you build the program, because we do, it's interesting with some of our clients, they want to go after same accounts that are already in their ICP and in their customer base. So it may just depend on, admittedly, an outbound program is going to take a little bit longer because there's a little bit more education versus an inbound program where they're coming in with declared intent and saying like, I'm interested, help me solve this problem now. That's just the core.
That's fair caveat. Fair caveat. I mean more from a strategic expansion.
Yes.
Like whale account strategy.
Final couple of questions for you. One, again, I know we've mentioned that the sales cycle took a little bit longer, but as far as like pipeline generated, what were some of the results that you were able to see from pipeline generation perspective?
Absolutely. So full disclosure, we had a 3 to 5 year sales cycle at this company. I actually left this company, I would say probably about 6 to 8 months after this program really launched. So I know we opened several opportunities. I can't tell you how many ended up progressing into deals. I know that there was significant amount of opportunities created. Pipeline was a couple million. That was pretty average though. For give or take 2 to 3 opportunities there. What ended up closing, like I said, I was no longer there.
Yeah. I mean, all good. Most of us work in long sales cycles. So to understand that through a whiteboard account progression model, you guys were able to generate a few million in pipeline, I think is helpful for everybody to understand. Final question, just as it relates to getting ABM off the ground, it's a lot of what we talked through today, but if you were to give everybody one final piece of advice, like how would you help somebody get ABM off the ground?
Yeah. I think again, like start with a small pilot and really think it through. Just take the time, partner with sales, and don't try to do too much too fast. Just stick with what you know and go from there.
I love it. Well, again, Kaysen, thank you for joining me today. If people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'd say look me up on LinkedIn. It's just Kaysen Gorenson. Add me. Happy to connect.
Perfect. Well, this has been Scrappy ABM. Hope you all enjoyed. We'll see you in the next one. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.